pre-war Prague, with its multinational and multicultural environment, has inspired many scholars and writers who explore the life of Czechs, Germans and Jews in the City of 100 Spires before it was swept away by the two totalitarian regimes of the 20th century. Our guest in this edition of One on One is Professor Petr Demet, the author of Prague in Black and Gold, Stage Prague and other works. Mr. Demet was born in Prague in the 1920s to a German and Jewish family, but left the country after the communist takeover of 1948 and later became a professor of German studies and literature at Yale University in the United States. Although Petr Demet was born in Prague, he actually grew up in Brno, so I first asked him about the differences between the two cities.
You're asking a very important question. I'm not sure I can really answer it because I was 5 or 6 years old and I have only distant memories. I think life in Brno, the capital of Moravia, was relaxed, I would say. There were conflicts among the various national groups and political parties, but they were always conducted in a, I would even say, constitutional matter, in a more or less polite matter. The whole situation in Moravia was more relaxed since the 19th century, more relaxed than in Bohemia. And the only thing I remember is, of course, that when I went to the movies, one had the choice between a German movie house or a Czech movie house or a mixed movie house. And you had to make a decision.
Part of your family was Jewish, another part was German. You went to German and Czech schools. Which mentality or group did you identify with?
The question is asked from today's point of view. At that time, you could have an identity as a citizen of the Czechoslovak Republic. There was President Masaryk, who, to my youthful mind, and even now, represents the best of the Czech liberal and rational tradition. And you could be of any nationality and yet profess your belief in the importance of the Czechoslovak Republic, which in the middle of Germany and Austria and elsewhere and Hungary was one of the rare cases of a functioning democratic and parliamentarian democracy, in contrast to many of the neighbors who had either totalitarian or semi-totalitarian regimes.
A significant Czech scholar, Pavel Eisner, said after the Second World War that Anglo-Saxons will never understand Germans as much as Czechs do. Do you think that there's some truth to that, that Czechs have a special insight into the German soul?
They may have a special insight, but they also have a particular perspective. They may have been too close to German developments, especially in the 30s, and that may have, permit me to say, narrowed these perspectives. You remember the famous saying by the Czech historian, 19th century historian Palacký, that the meaning of Czech history was in the conflict between Czechs and Germans, the tension between Czechs and Germans. And though it may be true for many centuries, I think it's not enough. There were other aspects of the Czech experience, let's say the difference between Hussitism and Catholicism, etc., etc.
I always found it difficult to imagine that after 6 years of having been occupied by a foreign power, students like you would study the language and culture of the occupiers. How did you feel studying German after the war? Did you first have to forgive them for what they'd done?
I tried to oppose them, because at that time, when you studied German literature, you try to study it in a way that was not Nazi influenced. That means you wanted to rescue something of the German heritage that was untainted by the Nazis. And that was also a requirement when you studied Marxism, for instance. I remember that my professor in 46 or 47 once asked me and said, well, there is a meeting downtown and we have to talk about the question whether in 46 or 47 it is necessary to study German. And I told him, well, maybe if you are interested in Marx and Engels, you better know your German, because if you want to interpret the sacred texts, you have to know what they are saying. And I think what the few German scholars did at the time outside Germany is develop a scholarship in opposition to 1933.
The U.S. ambassador to Prague in 1948, Lawrence Steinhardt, wrote after the communist takeover of the country that only a small group of students stood up for the defense of freedom at that time. You were one of those students who marched to Prague Castle to protest against the new developments. What was the atmosphere like?
It's funny that you quote Mr. Steinhardt, because it was the dream of every student to be introduced to his daughter for a dance, but we never made it. But it's true, I was marching. It must have been late February 1948. I think the historical number is close to 2,000. We went through Narodni Trida, over the bridge to Nerudova Ulice, and in the Nerudovka trouble started because we were silly enough to go through a very narrow street, and there the police already waited for us and started to beat us up, because in the meantime, while we marched to convince the president not to sign the acceptance of the new government, he already had signed the document, and downtown Gottwald and his people already began celebrated the new age. I think on the whole, it was a melancholy experience. I remember when we marched through Narodni Trida, the people, the shop owners came out of the shops, looked at us, and we started to tell them in chorus, as it were, come out of your shops, join us, it's your thing that we are defending, it's your interest that we are defending. But they stood there and waved at us and then continued as if nothing had happened. That was my experience.
When you come to Prague today, is there any part of the city that reminds you of the pre-war days when Prague was completely different from now?
If I may say so, I have a X-ray view. I can see through the through this modern architecture, I can still see the old street that is often there. It's only hidden by modern shops or palaces. But when I go through Tinská ulice, where my father lived originally, or when I go to Petrské náměstí, where my mother lived, or when I go to Karlovo náměstí, where I spent much of my school time reading on the benches somewhere, I can still see the old town. But I fully agree with you. By now, Prague has totally changed. It's become, to my mind, a totally chaotic city where one has to find one's way.